I am unashamed. What about you?
So this is interesting. Today is a milestone podcast. It's do you know why it's a milestone, Jace? You know what?
No.
You know what the momentous? If I had a drum roll, I could do it.
I thought, Jan, you made a big deal out of the 100th, which I didn't think was a big deal. But
there's something about the 100th episode and anything you do that's a big deal. I mean,
it's not
I didn't
me.
Make it. Well, I know.
It's just a number.
But to other people, it means something. Cause
that's like half the time I don't know how old I am. It's because it's not important.
You're half 100.
Yeah, you constantly remind me how old I'd rather just forget about that.
Well, Dad says you're getting close to 50. I'm like, no,
I mean, you hit 50. I climbed trees until I was 55. At 55, I said, no, I'm not climbing any more trees.
So you remember the day you stopped? You said no?
Red and I were down in the woods.
You were 50.
For some reason, we had to get up in the tree, deer stand or whatever. And normally, I would just up like a monkey. I'd gone up.
Well, you've got, you've got
right.
50.
At 55, I walked out there, and I looked up that big tree, and I looked at it. And I said, Red, come over here. He walked up there, you know.
Your feet look like a monkey because they got the knobs
on
them.
Oh, yeah. I said, I just made a decision. He said, what's that? I said, this is the day I stopped climbing trees. I'm too old.
You know what's disturbing about this is I just realized I'm still climbing trees.
Yeah, well, so it'll come to you. Well, you're 50. Five more years, you'll say no.
Oh, you were 55. You were my age.
55.
See, but it's not always the same for everybody, Dad, because I quit climbing trees like at 25. So
now from there, there's been a lot of different events, you know, that no. So now I've got old Dan down there. If it's a giant beaver dam, he's on it.
Yeah.
If it's a gigantic one, it's track hole. It's not
you
the rake.
You got to bring Red
used
in.
To the rake. The rake. We didn't have a
Is that when
hole.
Jimmy Red and Jay Stone
Jimmy
come in?
Jimmy Red and Jay Stone, yeah. they're taking up the slack. They were out there this morning at daylight moving around. I'll go down there, you know, because right now we're planting duck food. Mm-hmm. The water's just left. A lot of mud. A lot of stomping in the mud.
So I noticed that Stone, too, now he's part of his garb when he comes down here. He's got his, you know, army-looking uniform on. And then he's got that pistol strapped right on that side with the big old—
Stone was— we converted him from the duck blind. Jace brought him on board. But Stone has been a very valuable entity added to the Robertson clan. He married— my granddaughter, your daughter.
He married well, my daughter.
Yep. So he married up, no doubt about it.
And she's funny because she's, you know, she's kind of quiet and all that, but she's a Robertson through and through, too. And just watching their interaction because we all live, you know, close by. So it's really interesting
to
watch.
You know, disturbing.
He came back yesterday. He said, I got one coon and two cottonmouths with my pistol over in the woods, you know. I said, a coon and a cottonmouth, two cottonmouths in one lick. I said, Stone. I said, you my kind of man, son.
Well, maybe he's decided to aim instead of just spraying bullets. We talked about that.
Well, remind me when next time he invites me for barbecue, I believe I'll pass.
Yeah.
But the raccoon, I draw a line there, and the raccoon's under.
You got to remove the musk glands, a little musky.
Here's what you're forgetting. Well, everybody always has a recipe for everything, but, you know, some things I pass on. But— you know, what's disturbing about this is I was there the day. It was almost like a business meeting, a transaction. You know, Stone, as Phil's calling him, was in the duck blind. And Phil said, you know, Stone, my granddaughter, Anna, for whatever reason, nobody's made their move. So if I were you, I would make the move. And I thought
she was, and by the way, she was 18 at the time.
So I was like,
shows you how our lives are.
I watched him for about 3 months.
It wasn't like he was showing interest. He was just duck hunting. Phil says
he had never brought her up.
Nobody's met. Well, I don't think there was anything there.
And
Phil
was talk.
No, Phil was like, make your move. Literally, like a couple weeks later, they were dating. And I thought, did we just go hunting and somebody say, go for it. Okay. And then the next thing you know, they're married.
There were things you didn't know, Jesse.
I've vetted you. I said, however, my son, Al, is her father. I tell him it's going to help you if you're interested in this, to let him know, my son, that I vetted you. I said, make sure you get that in there. I said, because if you don't, you're out.
But you got to remember how the chain of communication works in this
What
family.
Did he say to you? Okay.
Jace, you've forgotten the chain of communication. So mom is always talking to Nan and a bunch of other people constantly. And so she gets information and then gives it to dad. So he wouldn't know things that are going on outside of his realm. So mom is the one that told dad.
So she said, give him the speech. He gave the speech.
Right. So she's,
He moved on it
because she's like, I think Nan and likes Jay. And we call her Nan, likes Jay. And so then she tells that to dad. So dad's like, oh, well, then I'm going to say, go for it because, you know, I've vetted you. So then he comes to me. He's pretty nervous with me, you know, because then it's the dad. And he didn't know me as well as he knew y'all early on. But I always liked him because, I mean, he served our country. He went to Afghanistan. He was right at the end of his deal there, and been like a month left. And then 9/11 hit. So he winds up going to Afghanistan for a year. And I can remember him coming down at church because he started coming to Westfield Road with us and us having prayer over him. And I never forget that day. His whole family came because they go to another church, but they all came that day because they knew we were going to pray for him because he was leaving the next week, which, you know, Afghanistan, especially early on, it was pretty wild over there.
Yeah, he was like one of the first ones
because he's part of the, he drives heavy equipment. So they were building the, you know, runways and they were gearing up for what would be this long war we've been fighting over there. But what impressed me was his grandpa came. His dad's dad, who served in World War II. And, you know, he was one of them classic greatest generation guys. You know, he didn't, you know, he just look at you, kind of had a sideways. That's where Jay gets that look he's got from. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that day I saw him tear up, you know, in those prayers because I thought about it. His grandpa remembers what it was like to be young like that, taking off over there to defend the country. So I don't know. It was just a moment for me. So I always liked Jay from even those moments, you know, because he had become a brother.
So what was his exact line when about dating your daughter?
Well, he said, you know, he kind of hem-hawed around and, you know, and I just let him swing. I didn't even try to – normally I'll try to, like, help people.
Dating your daughter, you got him with a cold stare.
I was just listening. And I was like, all right, what's he coming up with? Because he's a little bit older than Anna. And he finally said, you know, I just wanted to make sure it was okay with you if, you know, we started going out. Because I already knew. He was living with John and Paula. So I knew there had been, like, the secret, like, you know, somebody likes somebody. Even though you're older, it doesn't matter. You know, you still got the same thing. So I knew Nan, because I kept looking around, where's Nan? She's up at John and Paula's. Man, she's staying up there a lot. What's going on with that? And I said, I don't know. She's always up there talking to Jay. Of course, see, I knew. So, you know how this works. But I liked it because it was old school dating. They were always around adults. It wasn't off by yourself. You know, they were either John and Paula or at our house. So Jay had him a perfect little bachelor set up. He's got him a little trailer down on Caney Lake. And he was set up. He loves to fish. And he had all this going on. So then when he and Anna got married about, just, I don't know, 6 or 8 months after they started dating. So he had the perfect situation. They were just going to go down there and live on the lake. You know, he'd be able to fish, and he'd drive back and forth to work.
Happily ever after.
But the problem is he didn't realize that Nan wasn't going to live on a lake 45 minutes away from everything else. So that lasted 1 week. And then they show up at the house, and Jay's like, well, I guess I'm going to sell my place. This is 1 week. And I was like, sell it? Why? He was like, Anna doesn't want to live there. They only been married a little while. And I said, well, what do you want to do? And he said, well, I don't know. We're going to have to find a place to live in town. So I said, well, I tell you what, why don't y'all build a house? We got 4 acres. Why don't y'all build a house back here on our property? I'll give you that back acre and y'all build a house on it. So that's what that is. So they moved in with us. And then we built the house. And so we've been next door to each other now for 16 years ever since.
And it worked. You know, a lot of people.
It wouldn't work for everybody.
It doesn't work.
It works for us.
I mean, but Jay, I mean, he's a solid addition.
Well, he's turned into a good, really good cook. And that's helped everybody, the whole neighborhood.
You know what?
The man can grill.
Great cooking brings people together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a key component, you know, of our family.
It's always been, almost now, to enter the Robertson clan, you have to know how to cook.
You need to.
I see people come up, oh, well, you know, a little girl, yeah, kin folks, you know, my grandchildren, I can't remember the names. I'm looking at them. I said, can you cook?
That's embarrassing.
They said, can I cook? I said, can you cook? Well, I'm working on it. I said, Well, just checking.
Well, I went to Austin and visited Jep, and you know, I'm always have some anxiety, especially when I'm in a big city and just what we gonna do and what we gonna eat. Because I was like, you know,
we don't really do a lot of restaurants.
Ain't no telling, you know, what's going on. And I had left. I really hadn't eaten lunch, and so I thought, what are we gonna eat? I hate to ask because I don't want to say no. I'm not eating that. And so I finally just couldn't help it because I thought, what do y'all got to eat around?
Because when
I got
so to this, you're staying with Jep.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm staying with him and for a couple of days. And so Jep said, "Yeah, I'm cooking tonight." I was like, "Oh, really? What you got going?" He said, "Snow crabs," and I thought, "Ooh, well, this sounds pretty good." I'm gonna tell you, he laid that out, and
Jep's a good cook.
I was shocked.
Because yeah. Inside you were thinking when he said that, you were thinking, can you cook?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what
he
I was
did
thinking.
Run a food
but
truck.
You know what? It made the whole trip just because, I mean, and it was a feast. And I thought, here, let me pay for that. Whatever you pay for that, because I was thinking, next time I'm here, I want to do this again.
Yeah. You're motivating him.
This was awesome. Well done, my brother. But that's helped me with Jay because he's cooked for many a thing I've had.
Did he turn down the money or did he take it?
Oh, did he take it?
Jep don't turn down money. I'll tell you that right now. So that was my deal, Jay. So I'll buy it if you'll cook it. And so I told Jay just this last week, I was like, when is Si coming back over? Because he'd been coming over like every week, but I had a couple of things I needed to talk to Si about. He said, well, when do you want him over? And I said, well, I mean, it's not like I have to have him. I'm just wondering when he's coming back. He said, oh, if I call him and say we're cooking, he's here today.
Yeah.
So Si's just waiting on the call to come in. Jay cooks some ribs or steak, you know. So I said, well, I'll buy it if you'll cook it.
Well, Jep had an interesting point. I don't know if you ever thought about this. Because when I ate the snow crab, it was better than what I've usually eaten. Like at a restaurant, I've never cooked it myself.
Yeah.
And he said, I learned that people mess up when they boil lobster or crabs. Because when y'all...
You got to steam it, right?
Well, he cooked it in the oven.
Really?
He did for like 10 or 12 minutes.
Yep. Okay.
And now he put a bunch of seasoning on it.
Yep.
And now he had little cups of butter. I mean, because I said, boy, this is a nice way to eat butter. You know, because that butter, I don't know what he had in that, but it was better than just butter.
Yeah, that's it.
And so
that's drawn butter.
The proof is in what I ate. I just thought I'd throw that out there because evidently he stumbled up on something. So look, what's funny is when I got back, because we got one little seafood place. You know, we're a little too far north for the stuff off the boat, but we do have one seafood place.
He gets it fresh.
And we get shrimp there. And but I went in there and I said, y'all got any snow crabs? And I looked, of course, they were proud of it.
Oh, yeah.
But I was coming off that meal. I said, I have to do that again immediately just to see if I can pull it off. Got the recipe on my phone, so I'm good to go.
Oh, so you hadn't tried it yet.
But one of the funny things I want to say about Jay, I know we got to move on, but, you know, Jay's always kind of, I mean, I'll just throw this out. We all have struggles, and I'm not picking on him. But one of his problems was anger management. And I say that in just like when we would go play golf, and he was part of the – you know, once he got part of the family, you're part of the golf.
And he's a decent golfer.
He's more than decent.
He's about better, really square.
Yeah, he's good. But I noticed that when things didn't go his way, which happens a lot in golf, he was prone to golf tirades. I mean,
tantrums.
Throwing clubs, hitting them in the ground. So I thought,
breaking clubs.
I've got to confront him about this, and so I did, and it didn't go well at first. He was like, "What are you talking about? I'm just venting my frustrations. I mean, I'm not because he was saying, well, I'm not hurting anybody. Right. You know, I'm
just tearing up my own stuff.
I'm like, number one, you're not good enough to get mad. Let's just get that.
Which I figured that out for me.
We're
a long
playing
time.
For $2. You know, we're playing a $2 Nassau game. He's like, well, it's not about that. I'm not reaching my potential. I said, we're putting a round ball in a hole. There is no potential. It's supposed to be fun. We're not throwing clubs. I mean, I just thought, you know, welcome to the family. we're not throwing clubs. All right, you're off the list. And he's like, what are you saying? I was like, you're not allowed to play if you keep throwing clubs. It's embarrassing. I'm like, we're playing golf here. Don't. It's okay to get mad, but once the club goes flying, you know, you've seen him do it. And so it was a slow process, and I thought he was getting better at it. And then all of a sudden, he'd go off again. Uh-huh. But once I had already broken the ice, well, then he told me this crazy story about when he's in the military about, you know, he was right on the ground from day one. And when he was over there, they didn't even have bathrooms that were halfway civilized. He said, you know, there was a board, which he broke off into this story. I'm like, where are we going with this? But he's like, I'm knee to knee with all the other military guys, you know, when they want to go to the bathroom on a board. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you know, one day a fly came and lit on my leg. And he said, so I just got up, walked out, and they had just put the first port-a-john there. And he said, I just took out all my frustration on that port-a-john. He said, I literally beat it to a pulp. Yeah. And I said, why are you telling me this? He said, so you know, once my superiors saw what I did, they called him in. Said, you will now be the one that gets rid of all of the material that's going into the pot in a 55-gallon drum burning it.
Yeah,
he
learned a lesson
there. Well, right. He said, so now I'm out there, you know, with a boat paddle.
Stirring it
as I burn it.
Burning it.
And I said, so, I want you to think about, I don't know how I can relate that. And so what he did was he just quit playing golf.
Yeah, he just quit.
He just said, well, I think I'm going to quit. I was like, good talk.
So you get down to John 10.
Hang on, Dad. Let's take a break. So we got a lot of the students that are caught up kind of in the politics of coronavirus. You know, do they go back to school? Do they stay home? I mean, this is a crazy time that we're living in. One of our sponsors, Patriot Mobile, is running they're calling it a school days promotion. Until September 12th, you can either get a free phone or a free month of service when you switch to America's only conservative cell phone carrier, Patriot Mobile. If you got up until September 12th to be able to do this, the way you get a hold of these guys, if you want to switch over to them, is 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Or you can go to patriotmobile.com/Phil, use the promo code Phil, and you get a free month of service. And right now you got a choice, a free phone or a free month of service. So check these guys out, patriotmobile.com, promo code Phil. Now, so we got left hanging. This is a momentous podcast. We just ventured from where we started. And you don't know why. It's number 127. Does that ring a bell?
No.
This is the last podcast that we are recording here in our original podcast, Unashamed Command Center. Did you know that? It's the last one.
Well, how would
I had no idea.
See? I mean,
where are we moving?
We are moving to a new Unashamed Command Center, which is actually right on our hunting property. We're building the studio as we speak. And the reason why I wanted our audience to know, because it's going to look different the next time we record, is because where we are, we're in a place that we call it the Lodge. Willie and Corey originally bought this place, or maybe Jeff and Jessica did.
I think they just rented it.
Okay, so they rented it. They lived here. So a lot of people in the family have lived here in this spot, and we've described it before, as you see out the window. This is the very beginning of Mom and Dad's property, so you go down that hill. So it means a lot to us because we kind of get to look down where we grew up. But Phyllis and Tony will be moving here, and they're going to be – we're actually in their bedroom back here in the back of the house.
Huh.
So they're going to be moving here. We're excited about that. You guys heard their story first on the podcast, which is awesome. And we just want to update the story that they're going to be living here. So we're moving our podcast command center about probably a mile from here.
We're going to the hunting camp.
We're going to the hunting camp. We call it the Lair. Which is our place where we stage, and that's where we're
keep
building
all our equipment.
So yep. We went from the command center to the lair.
To the lair. So that'll be our new spot, the Unashamed Lair, which I've always wanted like a lair.
This is, you know, this has gotten weird.
Momentous.
So the big move is about a mile.
It's about a mile.
Okay.
That's exactly right. So just, but I wanted our audience to know.
But it has a feel about it because it, that's where all our decors are stored. Yep. Our vehicles,
our side by sides,
the Yamahas, the pumps.
Yep.
You know.
I guess, Connor, we had to get you to shoot some of the shots that's over there, right? We have lockers with our names on them. It's pretty impressive.
What we ought to do when we get there is just let them take a pan shot.
That's what I'm saying.
So the audience can say that's where y'all. That's your staging area before daylight, 5 o'clock in the morning. We're going here, there, and yonder. Everybody meets there. Some are going deer hunting, some are going duck. It's how it's a good look at the redneck world.
It's not a good look.
Well,
it's a look.
Lower your expectations, viewers. It looks like some kind of this storm
rough for the city dwellers.
There's a lot of critters there.
You got to watch the black widows. We've had a rat problem.
The dogs are there. That's where they're maintained and kept. Dan goes over and runs the dogs.
Dan lives next door.
Our retrievers. We got these dogs. You know, boom. They go retrieve for bring our ducks back to us. Mm-hmm. It's a good way to roll.
Yeah. Well, that's where we're going to be. So next time we'll introduce you to the lair, to our new spot. So Dad's ready to get to John 10.
I just want to make one point on the last verse in John 10, John chapter 9, as we leave it. If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. And I just wrote this down for the beginning of chapter 10, to pardon. We don't realize how powerful that is. One of the things, when you pardon someone, you remove the guilt. You cancel the penalty for an offense or crime. You're forgiven. You're justified. To release a person from further punishment for a crime. So when you look at what Jesus did in one fell swoop, look, amazingly, took about, by my count, 5,300 years from creation that he created it. 5,000, he's coming, the Old Testament says, in 3 days, solved your sin problem and your grave problem. In 3 days? I mean, just think about how that all came to fruition, Al. I just thought I'd mention this. Blessed is the man or woman whose sins are forgiven, whose transgressions are covered, whose sin the Lord will never count against them. Therefore, we have peace of mind while we're here and immortality to boot. And that's the reason we're sitting here telling others about it, because we're simply saying, come on, America. Come on. Come on.
Well, I think he was addressing the pride. You know, pride is what really keeps us from pursuing.
It's still here.
But when you said that word, Dad, that you said, what would you say about cancel that you added in there?
To cancel, to release a person from further punishment for a crime, to cancel the penalty for an offense. This is Webster's Dictionary.
So it made me think about it, about another passage that uses that word, and it's Colossians 2 is one of Jason's favorite, 13. When you were dead in your sins, and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code.
That's it.
With its regulations that was against us, stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross.
Because remember, Alice, he canceled the penalty,
right,
which was death. I mean, think about it, how powerful sin is. You sin, you die spiritually. You're cut off from God, separated from God.
What made that interesting when you said that is that currently, today, right now, there's this whole, I don't know what you'd call it, I guess, process that's going on. It's called a cancel culture.
Yeah.
So someone, you know,
I heard somebody say that. What exactly?
So here's what it is. That's what I wanted to describe it. So it's exactly the opposite of what I just read. And
that
what
is
you
correct.
So here's what the cancel culture does. Somebody tweeted something, wrote an article, said something, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 50 years ago.
Some of the founding fathers. The founding fathers sinned. Right. They can't get out.
So the cancel culture is that if you've ever said anything that is now deemed as wrong.
If you've ever sinned, Al.
Then you're canceled. Like, we don't want to ever hear from you again.
Tear a statue down. He made some mistakes.
So everyone's canceled but babies?
Well, that's where we're headed.
But who came up with it?
I don't know. It started as just a social media Twitter mob mostly. That was their deal. But here's the results of it, what's happened. So somebody says something somewhere, someone back, they work for this company, and then they get you fired, canceled, because you said something that now sounds to them like it's racist or whatever. I mean, people are just scared now to even say anything.
The ones who dreamed up the cancel culture without them realizing it, the same charge they're putting on all the human beings who live before them, start with the founders of this country and start there. You say, if you ever made a mistake, you're out. As if the cancel culture crowd doesn't realize, what about their sins?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, when did the moral purity start with this
crowd? I think it's just like the verse you read. They're not acknowledging that because they claim they can see.
That's right.
Hang on.
That's why I read that.
Hang on. Let's take a quick break. So we know that in today's culture, between suits, lawsuits, minimum wage requirements, labor regulations, HR is a nightmare. Did you know that, Dad? Do you know what HR stands for?
No. Okay. Home run.
Human resources is what HR stands for. And people that have a small business understand this is a real problem. You have to hire somebody. It costs you a lot of money. So we got a company, Bambee, B-A-M-B-E-E. They're created specifically for small business. Basically, they're an online HR service for your business. You can go month to month, no hidden fees. You cancel anytime. So go to Bambee.com, Bambee.com/Robertson. You get a free HR audit. See if these guys can help you out. Bam2theb.com/Robertson. No, that's what struck me about it is that what's going on in our culture right at this moment is by these people who don't even understand what we're talking about is the exact opposite of what Jesus did.
Only one that can counsel you is the one that can pardon you. He wants to pardon you for your sins, but if you'll let him, but if not, you've been canceled.
You know, it's interesting.
Just like the old, how many times do we forgive him, Lord? Seven? And he said, 70 times seven.
You know, it's interesting. I was doing my research on this because I'm sharing Sunday about, so you're a king.
Yeah.
You know, when Pilate asked Jesus that and what that means. But what came up was a slogan that was part of our American culture from our founding fathers where they said, we are under no king besides King Jesus. And that happened during the Revolutionary War, so I started researching that.
Yep.
You know, England, they were basically saying they were invading, and Americans came up with that slogan, and I thought, who said that, and I want to find that out. Well, what was crazy is there are thousands of stories or arguments about who said that, when, and where, because all of these people, I guess, with the group you're talking about, the council culture, are trying to cancel all our founding fathers.
Correct.
So
yep.
Basically, most of the articles, I just started thumbing through them, were like, you know, they were staying at this reverend's house, but really that was a lie. They weren't even there because he's the one that said it. Reverend Jonas, I can't remember the names, but he basically said there is no king besides King Jesus, and then that caught on. But they were attacking that because they were like listing all some of the articles I read would have all the founding fathers. And they were like, see, they didn't even believe right on Jesus, which what was crazy to me, here are people that don't believe in Jesus looking at the theological views of the founding fathers saying, well, they couldn't have said that because they didn't even believe the facts about Jesus. Like this guy one time quoted, oh, there's a God, but, you know, Jesus was just a prophet, or, you know, they had all these different quotes. And I thought, that is so, that they're so worried about a statement like that, that literally, what was that, 1770, whatever, 1776. They're going back that far, trying to challenge that happening because they, you're talking about pride, do not want to say, well, Jesus is actually king. Because if he is, I might change my life.
Yeah, actually, right. The original founders came up there at Jamestown and Plymouth Rock. And someone says, with the statues there and all, they'll probably be wanting to tear them up before it's over. Yep. But the whole outline of the kingdom of God, Al, what's the elder up there at Flash Ferry Road? He saw it. Dash's buddy up there. Abel's, Robert Abel's.
Yeah, yeah.
Robert said, when I went in there on that Plymouth Rock, and you walk out there, and they've got their history right there. The church was there. They were referring to it as the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
What you have to do, put your faith in there. The gospel was right there in the middle of it. That little group that sailed over from Europe, who landed there, and it was a rough go. But the ones that started that, they have all the writings right now. You can go walk around and look. Mm-hmm. And Robert told me, he said, Phil, when I went there and saw that, you know, they were called the Puritans.
Yeah.
He said, it was us.
Yeah.
It was the kingdom of God. It was us. The foundation was being laid right there from the very beginning. Started right there with that little group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And half of them died. I mean, it was rough.
Oh, yeah.
But it just took off from there. The United States of America, Patrick Henry had it right. He said the United States was founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ.
I read that in that article.
His death, burial, and resurrection. Right. That's what the country's
But you know what was disturbing?
Now they're trying to cancel that.
Oh, yeah.
What I ran across one article who were from Christians who said they didn't support the slogan either. And I thought, now here we got Christians saying they don't support that there's no king besides King Jesus. I thought, this should be interesting.
They better support it.
No, so I read it. So here was the logic. They said, well, the reason that that was not good for our founding fathers to do, because they were given credit that the founding fathers believed it and that the slogan was real and that it happened. I think it's pretty evident, since there's so much smoke about it, that that happened, because there are literally thousands of articles about it. So, people don't like that foundation is where our religious freedom in this country was built on, which is why we have the First Amendment.
And they were also having a reaction to old King George.
Remember,
Constitution
was written for a religious and moral people. It is wholly inadequate for any other. Well, now, 244 years later, you say, we have a group of people and the Constitution is in their way. It's in the way because they're not religious and they're not a moral group. You say, they get rid of it. It doesn't apply to them because it was written if you were godly and you were a moral group. You say you changed that dynamic and it took 244 years and the Supreme Court forgot that they were not the supreme being. They say, kill your children, practice perversion, blah, 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 all the way down the line. Yeah. You say, we've forgotten what brought us, the God of creation. There's hell to pay.
That's, I know, we're not going back that far, but the fact that a group of men at one point put "In God We Trust" on every coin and dollar told you pretty much their view of our history and how we got here. But what I was going to say about
Psalms 91, that's where they got that, by the way.
But what I was going to say is this Christian woman who wrote this article said, well, because Jesus, since you quoted John 18, when right before Pilate said, so you're a king. Well, what led to him say that is because Jesus said, are you king of the Jews? And he said, well, my kingdom is not, is from another.
Of this world.
It's not of this world. So her point was, well, you can't say there's no king but King Jesus. Because King Jesus, he's not king of this world. And they quoted John 18:36. He's the kingdom of a heavenly world. And it's a futuristic thing, so it couldn't be that. And so then I virtually raised my hand and said, well, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Because, you know, a proper study of the kingdom, which we've done in previous podcasts, I don't know if it was in the title, you can go listen to it. that we believe that we are a part of the heavenly kingdom on earth.
Yeah.
We represent that. Well, if the Spirit of Christ is in us, the mystery of godliness is that Christ is in us. We represent, because of God's grace and His Holy Spirit, the actual indestructible kingdom of heaven on earth.
Hang on, take a break.
So we talk a lot about hair loss on this show, which is kind of ironic because I'm really the only one losing my hair. You and Dad, of course. I don't know. You had a fur ball in your train one time. I do shave.
Maybe,
right. When you shave, you lose your hair on top.
I don't know.
Could be.
I've done very little.
So I wish I had started a little bit earlier, but there's a one of our sponsors, Keeps. This Keeps.com is where you go, and they basically help you hold on to your hair. So if you're starting to lose that hair, you might want to check these guys out to try to hang on to it. They ship it straight to your door. You go online, keeps.com/door. You get 50% off your first order, keeps.com/door.
So the Apostle Paul, writing to the Colossians, starts out with the gospel of God's grace and all its truth. He gets down to the bottom, about verse 12, chapter 1, giving thanks to the Father. He's qualified you because you've put your faith in Jesus. You responded to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. He's rescued us from the dominion of darkness. It's already happened. And he's brought us, already happened, to the Colossians, into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So if the Colossians had been brought into the kingdom of God, how could you say the kingdom of God had not been brought to them? You see what I'm saying, Al?
I think what bothers me is that most religious people that I run up on have this view. You know, they're even just step back for and say, no, wait a minute. You don't like the phrase that there is no king but King Jesus? If you don't like that, there's something wrong with your theology.
The kingdom of the Son he loves. You say,
Well,
it's too clear.
I like the one in Hebrews 12 that describes what the kingdom is. It gives you a whole description. And then in verse 28, it says, therefore, since we are receiving, present tense in Hebrews, which is 2,000 years ago, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and with awe.
Book of Acts, the Apostle Paul, before he died, from morning till evening, this is Acts 28, about verse 20-25 or so. From morning till evening, the Apostle Paul explained and declared to them the kingdom of God. You turn one page, the last thing it says about the Apostle Paul before he bid it, boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, I've given you two out of the book of Acts, but it's throughout the book of Acts. I've been preaching the kingdom. I'm telling you, Jesus died for you, was buried and raised from the dead. He's the king of the kingdom. It's a royal priesthood. You better get down in here, and they baptize him in the creek right on the spot where there's a Philippian jailer, Lydia down on the river, the eunuch. So you read all these texts, you say, good night. Well, now, there's a concerted effort among many in our population to rid the earth of not only the kingdom, of us too, Jace, before it's over.
Yeah.
The backlash has started, and we're going to fix to find out on this next election who America believes in, Jesus the King or someone else.
What's amazing is that the cancel culture, I guess, now that I'm speaking freely on it, which I didn't really understand it, but it comes back to the fundamental argument against Christianity, because
that's right,
they always attack the fact that even as a Christian, you're flawed. But that's their one point that they have. But it's true. I mean, if you look at an umbrella, because
everyone's flawed but them?
Well, right. I guess.
I'm looking at him and seeing a few flaws.
Trust me, you're going to see
everybody. But you're the one who brought up the verse, which is they're claiming to see the truth and what they're claiming, I completely disagree with, which makes them guilty.
Right.
Because they're basically attacking people who admit they have flaws, but they're forgiven by the grace of God, who sincerely try to represent God's fundamentals, which are righteous and holiness. Even though we're not perfect, even in our mistake, you know, if somebody said, well, you're a sinner, so you're canceled. I'm like, yep, but Jesus resurrected me. I'm back in. And he continues to do that. That's the problem that they have. And look, I'm not embracing their what they say, but I do understand the issue, because it's very hard for a human being to wrap his head around that God loves me even though I make mistakes.
Right.
And he uses me.
Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. And you look out there, God sent Jesus down to die for the lawless, the lawless. You see what I'm saying?
But you know, it's interesting. Even if you weren't looking at it through the spiritual lens that we are, there was about 150, Jace, authors. And most of them are left-wingers and would agree with the politics of most people that are part of this cancel culture. And they basically just did an open letter and they all signed it saying, this is terrible because we all make mistakes. Like they're saying, we're writers. How can we not write? If we're going to write something, if you're going to deem that it's offensive because of whatever you're going by, none of us can ever speak our mind about anything.
Well, the first people you'd have to cancel is all these media people.
Well, I mean,
look, but I've been on the earth.
They're part of the cancel culture.
50 years, and some of the worst people I've ever been around were the media.
Yeah.
I mean, just.
But
like,
they're fueling this. They're the ones that'll out you. Let's take one last break.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flair over it that I wouldn't be seated, so I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to Reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.
That's why I'm saying, though, even in the culture itself, even people that aren't saying anything about God, it just strikes me. Even they say, we can't survive like this because everybody's going to get canceled. They're saying it. They're like, because everybody makes mistakes.
All they figured out is that we all make mistakes.
That's right.
I could have told you that and saved you. I could have told you that in 10 seconds.
Well, and hopefully, I mean, what's the sad thing is a lot of people now, it's not just you lose your influence or they kick you off of, you know, Twitter or Facebook. But their people lose their jobs, their careers.
If they will turn to Jesus, Jesus will cancel their
sin. That's my thing. That's what I love.
And he will cancel their physical death problem by raising them from the dead. It's a win-win deal with him. What I keep saying is, what is wrong? What's the downside to human beings who love God and they love each other and they prove that? What's the downside to that, Al? That's all God asks of us. Love him and love each other.
Because
I don't know about that.
Because God to them is not
there.
It's not a reality. And then you have different forms of worshipers. And so they just look at it like a big mess for, you know, that something that people need just to get through because they're weak.
Yeah.
And so that's why it goes back to that pride. They're like, I don't have an answer to death. I don't have an answer to make wrongs right. But I do have an answer for you. And it is that we don't support you or like you, and we will counsel you because you sin. And, you know, even though they're not willing to admit theirs. But
well, you got to remember, most of these folks that are doing this are on a Marxist path. And you remember what was it Lenin that said, what was his quote?
Religion is the opium of the people.
That's right.
It must be removed.
So see, the whole communist side of things was atheism, forget about God. We don't do anything like that. I mean, you got to move away from that. So
the Apostle Paul quoted the verses Jace loved. He ended up by saying, love never fails.
Yeah.
And America is currently missing that right now. They don't see it. They just don't see it.
Because think if you could just infuse the one concept of forgiveness into this whole culture. Like if you say, you know what? Yeah, we had some problems along the way. I mean, man, slavery stunk and the people were mistreated. But what would happen if there was just a mass forgiveness of all past hurts that were inflicted on people and said, you know, we're going to go forward and we're not ever going to go back there. We're going
to canceling, no
better.
Retaliation, right. Just forgiveness.
Just forgiveness. We're just
man, gonna, what a world we're
I mean,
there.
How different would that make everything? People could then, even if you had different ideologies.
They don't want to do that.
They don't want to. They want to hold on to the bitterness
well,
and the
Well, because you
got to
make it right somehow. Yeah. It's just one, it's never going to be achieved.
No.
You're never going to make
That's
the
right.
wrongs right outside of Jesus being God and his blood on a cross.
Because
you're
know,
not going to come up with it.
Because they'll talk about things like currently about reparation money. Like, okay, so we if we dump a bunch of money into this situation, that's going to solve everything.
My message to America is, hey, America, repent and go to the voting booth.
Sounds like
repent,
you,
Al,
you
turn to God and go to the voting booth.
You should write a book about
that. But Al's right. They're like, a lot of people say, well, just give everyone money who have been oppressed.
And everybody be good.
Yeah, we're all good then.
Money will do it.
What's that going to do?
That doesn't solve anything. It's like saying if you lost.
There's never enough money, Jace, because they've spent trillions and trillions with this welfare thing. You're like,
you'll take the money.
What happened?
Go
it's
buy
worse
you,
now
look,
than there was when they started out.
You'll take the money, go buy you some snow crabs because they're good, and you'll eat it. And guess what? You'll get to thinking about it, and you'll still be mad.
You'll still be mad. It's like if someone's family member dies because someone did something that was some other person's fault. So in America, you sue them. And because you're mainly trying to punish them, you don't want this to happen to somebody else. But what do they do? What can they do? They give you a big fat check. Does that change the fact that you lost someone you loved, or like all of a sudden, oh, no. Okay, I got $2 million, so you know we don't miss them that much. I mean,
I'm trying.
No,
to,
that doesn't work.
Al, they have Al, fun Al, for Al, a while,
but it doesn't ever take away the difficulty.
Al, I'm trying to deal with the signage. The little girls, they had sticks in their hand. Dan showed it to me because I don't read computers, but I looked at it. I said, what? And Dan said, check this out. The little girls, they had signs, sticks with signs. The sign said, we're going to hell and we're proud. All of them said the same thing, the signs. I said, let's see. So I'm trying to, as a human being, 74 years old, trying to figure out some kind of angle, Al, so I can talk to a mind that's saying, I'm going to hell, and I'm proud of it.
The only way you would say that is if you didn't believe there was a hell.
So they wrote that down, but they—
Well, yeah. They just wanted to get you riled up, but they don't—
They really don't believe it's there.
Well, they don't believe it's there. Because no rational thinking person would say.
So they just die and rot in the ground, fill up in bombing fluid, and that's over.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I don't think they're really thinking that far down. You know, you got to remember, too, there's a lot of drugs out there. And you get all
hopped
impaired
up.
And get riled up, and then you go out there and you start making irrational comments. But that gets other people stirred up. But I realize
I'm going to hell and
they
I'm
need
proud.
Jesus.
Woo!
The great thing about Jesus.
That scares me when I hear that out.
Yeah, it's sad.
It scares me for them.
Even to play around with that, right?
But the great thing about Jesus is that he offers forgiveness even to that person. Because my initial response to that is, not enough butt whippings when they were a kid. Well, that's not going to work. No. But that's just what the way it riles you up, makes you mad, which is why he's showing you that, which is a lot of what the internet is. It's people trying to come up with stories or images to get you riled up so that you'll linger on that site and they'll get paid for it. I mean, sadly, that's just the truth. But most of it, I don't think, is as bad as what you see, because we sensationalize everything through the media.
Well, the media is definitely playing a big role in how this goes, that's for sure. So we're about out of time.
We never got to John 10.
We'll get to John 10 next time. Well, Dad started with that last verse.
The 127th episode. We're moving a mile. Okay, that was breaking news.
But I just want people to know we're going to show up next time. It's going to look a lot different. So I remind you a couple of things as we part ways today. One is that Jesus Politics, which is basically a book that Dad has written, that's a lot about what we just talked about. It's out now, so you want to be sure and check that out and buy you one if you hadn't already. And the second thing is, we're always reminding you that Blaze TV is our platform. Dad has a show on there called In the Woods with Phil. And so we'd love for you to check that out, see if it's something you might want to subscribe to. I know everybody can't, but they make it possible for us to do the podcast. So if you guys would like to dive into that, Dad's got about 600 episodes of his show, which are...
Ooh, has it been that many?
It's been that many. I think it's maybe more than that. But they're like 8 to 10 minute videos of basically Dad doing the stuff he does in the woods.
Every time I say I'm getting too old for this, all everything, then I think I just keep doing it. I'm like... Well,
and people, what else you got to do?
You might as well.
Nothing is important, that's for sure.
Well, it is important, and we're getting the word out. We love you guys, Unashamed Nation. You guys are awesome. We appreciate you growing the audience. Tell people about it. Tell them to click on here. That's the reason we're able to do the podcast. So we love you. We appreciate you. And next time we'll be from our new lair location. I know you're excited, Jay. So we're so glad you guys were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or YouTube or Facebook. And be sure and rate us on iTunes so that other people can know about the podcast.